This is Deanna Spingola. It is Wednesday, June 20th, 2012, and this is one of my special interviews. We have no commercials, no censorship, no calls, and no music. It is just education and information. It is bare bones broadcasting. My guest today is Lennon Honor. His websites are LennonHonorFilms.com and LennonHonor.com, and those will be linked on the specials page. Welcome to the program, Lennon.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here, and I look forward to talking with you today.
Thank you so much. You also have a YouTube channel. You're on Facebook. You're on Twitter.
Yes, absolutely. Twitter and Facebook under Lennon Honor, LennonHonor. And my YouTube account is Lennon Honor Films, LennonHonorFilms.
Okay. And you have a link to YouTube and to Twitter and Facebook from your page, Lennon Honor Films. Now, I first became acquainted with your work with the media mind control and the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And I took the test. In that film, you ask people to get a piece of paper and jot down numbers, and then you showed images and asked us what we thought the images represented. And that was, I just love learning, and I love the way that you put that together so that you actually required people who were watching this film to use critical thinking. And I just think that was so educational. That was just a wonderful, wonderful film, two-part film.
Oh, thank you. And that's the key word, critical thinking. And a lot of my work, especially my more recent work, I'm trying to encourage people to take a more intellectual approach to any information that they receive. And that includes the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, which was propagandized as the greatest ecological catastrophe of our time. And so I go through a process of really dissecting that particular event and then asking critical questions as to the validity of whether or not it was the greatest ecological catastrophe of our time. And then there's certain exercises that I do inside of that documentary with the viewer. And the idea is to teach the viewer how to approach things with a much more intellectual, intellectual orientation, and then also apply critical thinking. So there's a couple of tests that I put in there. And just, the whole idea is to have people think a little bit more deeper about media and media sourced information, which includes the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico.
Right. And you do a lot of work on about the media, and you do a lot of work about on symbolism. And I was watching your film, The Evil. What is the name exactly of that film? The Workings of Evil, and you have two parts. And I note, is that a representation of a Freemasonry, on the first one?
Well, there are Freemasonic. What I do in The Workings of Evil is I do an analysis in terms of the entertainment industry. And a lot of the subliminal messages, a lot of the symbols that are used to kind of propagandize certain types of ideas and concepts. And there are Freemasonic concepts and ideas, what people would call Luciferian ideas. Some people may say satanic ideas. And I use an example of a song called Umbrella, a song and video called Umbrella by Rihanna. And I do a deep analysis of that song, of the lyrics, but also of the video footage of the music video itself. And indeed, in that particular music video, there is a lot of occultic type of information encoded symbolically, and a lot of it would be what people would classify as Luciferian or satanic. So yes, in that sense, yes, The Workings of Evil. And the idea is that in terms of the manner in which media operates, in terms of its use of subliminals, in terms of its impacting the subconscious mind, it is a very destructive act that is engaged upon, because it's so subversive. It's covert. It's not something that is out there in the open where people are consciously aware of it. It's quite sinister. So in that sense, I classify that as being the workings of evil. What we would classify as evil is precisely what media does in terms of manipulating the psychological condition of the human species through subliminals and through symbols and through impacting the subconscious mind. And this is precisely how media mind controls the general population. And that's just one example that I use in terms of Rihanna's song and video Umbrella and within the entertainment industry. But there is a plethora of examples that we can use.
Right. And people just think they're being entertained when, in fact, as you've demonstrated, it goes much deeper than that. And even though we don't see these things or perceive these things, it impresses our mind in a way that we are not aware of.
Yes,
Is that right?
Absolutely. Entertainment itself, if we look at the etymology, meant, anytime you see meant, that's dealing with the mind. So when we say government, that means to govern the mind. Govern means to rule, to dominate, to control. Therefore, government is mind control, literally, right? Well, the same thing with entertainment. There's that word again, M-E-N-T. That's dealing with the mind. Enter means to go in. To tame means to hold, right? So therefore, you go into the mind and hold it. You go into the mind and control it. Again, hold being a representation of control. So entertainment also functions as the means of mind controlling the general population. And the way that entertainment operates is precisely as you said. Most people think it, and they take the approach as if it's something that, you know, you just sit back and watch and you enjoy. But in the process, your subconscious mind is being programmed, right? Your mind is being held. It is being controlled. In essence, you're experiencing levels of mind control, and this mind control is 24 hours a day. It doesn't matter necessarily if you're going to ABC, you're going to Reuters, if you're going to Fox, even some of the alternative information that people get into. If it does not allow you to think more critically and take a critical approach and engage in critical thinking, then it is a form of mind control. The idea is to come into a level of sovereignty in terms of our minds, and what that means is that we can think deeply about any given topic and about any given subject, and we don't simply accept it at face value. And entertainment, what it does is it gives people the illusion of enjoyment while programming them and stifling their intellectual progression. So that's precisely what entertainment is done, whether that's sports, whether that's music, whether that's even entertainment in terms of the news, because people approach the mainstream news as a form of entertainment. They tune in television shows, they tune in movies, they go to the movie theater and watch. It's all a form of entertainment, but really what it gets down to is mind control.
Wow. Now, now you mentioned sports, and I really totally believe that sports has a tendency to militarize the entire nation. Well, to militarize the people who are either participating or who are watching, because they incorporate patriotism and all kinds of other things, the uniforms and the camaraderie. Do you find that to be true?
Absolutely. Sports is based upon military domination. The idea of, you know, a group of men getting together and they get on the field being a representation of the earth. So football, football here in the United States of America, soccer, too, I guess you can use soccer as an example. But football here in the United States of America, you have two opposing sides and they are on a field and that field is on the earth. And what they do is they fight against each other to dominate earth, and whoever dominates the most amount of earth, they get a touchdown. Ultimately, that's the goal, is to penetrate into the other person's through the other person's defensive. Again, this is all military, and ultimately get to a point where they score a touchdown. Well, that's representation of domination and control. So the whole battle in sports is between two opposing forces, and it's all military. All of it's military. Even in terms of, for instance, in football, when the quarterback, when he goes under the huddle and he starts to talk, he's kind of like getting his troops riled up. They go up to the line. That's the front line, right? You got the offensive line and you got the defensive line. Even the manner in which the terminology that is used in sports, it's all military. And then he gets under the huddle to get the ball. And the ball is really the symbolic representation of the flag. So if you can get the flag all the way into the other person's end zone and plant the flag, that means that you got a touchdown. In other words, you dominated them and you got your flag and you were able to place your flag into the end zone. And then the quarterback, he goes under and he's ready to receive that the ball, which is a symbolic representation on some level of a flag. It also represents other things as well, but he begins to give these cadences. So he's going hut 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 hut. Well, this is no different than in the military. Hut 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 hut, hut one, hut two, hut three, hut four, hut five. It's the same principle. So sports is an accurate representation of, it's just set inside of a more entertainment type of an atmosphere. It's a representation of war. It is a representation of military. It doesn't necessarily matter which sport you're using. It's always about dominating the field. So therefore, dominating earth, dominating land. And that's what all war comes down to.
Wow. And people are actually being militarized while they are supposedly enjoying a good game of football or watching a good game of football.
Yes, absolutely. And it can be basketball. The same rule applies. And a lot of the militarization is also about the domination of women, too. This is another aspect I think that men really need to take a critical look at. It's not just about men being militarized. It's also about men developing an idea about women that is very much devolved. In other words, much of the symbology that is present in sports, and we can use golf as an example. It is about planting the ball or the seed into the earth to dominate the earth and ultimately plant your seed into the earth. So golf, as an example, you get these males who get together and they start swinging these clubs, and the manner in which they hold the club, it's right there in terms of where they position their hands is close to their penis. They begin to swing at a white ball, and they swing the white ball until they get the white ball into a hole in the earth. And again, the earth being a representation, symbolically speaking, of the feminine being, meaning it has a hole there, and the ball goes into the hole. That's why you always see the ball going into the hole. Basketball, it goes into the hoop, right? You always see this dynamic playing itself all over and over and over again. But the idea is that it's not just men dominating land and the earth. It's also about the domination of women, because the earth is a symbolic representation of women. Right. And that the earth brings forth the food. The earth gives us water. The earth gives us all these things that nurture us and allow us to live, just like our mothers did for us. This is the symbology behind it. So not only is it the militarization of men and the mentality of men, but also to develop a much more disrespectful view in the sense that men must dominate as well. Just as they dominate their field, they must also dominate women. And then you throw on top of this, you have the cheerleaders who are scantily clad. So you got the sexualization of the event. Ultimately, in terms of entertainment, we have a very, very intricate, but quite twisted entertainment edifice, if you will, that is mind controlling not only men, but also the mentality of women in the process.
Right. And has there been a great change in the morality of this country since entertainment became so widely recognized and accepted, say from 1920s on?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that has happened with media, and one of the powerful parts about it is that over, say, for instance, between 1920s and now, we're almost say 100 years later, technology has advanced so quickly and it has progressed so quickly. So, in essence, the degree to which entertainment or television or media can mind control people, it is much more progressive now because there's technology that's in place that has allowed it to have a greater impact. But one of the things that media has been used, and this is really what propaganda is all about, is to shape the social norms and the sense of morality and the sense of ethics within any given society. And this has been done for a long time. I mean, in terms of how media works, it's not just with the advent of the television. I mean, we can go into to ancient history and you see the same dynamic wherein propaganda was used in order to shape public opinion, to shape the morals and ethics of a particular group of people or of a country, or to issue propaganda for the purposes of war, to demonize another group of people that were. So in demonizing another group of people, the force that is going to go to war with those people, they have more support now for the people that they are representing, if this makes sense. So ultimately, in terms of the shaping of society, and that includes ethics, morality, that includes of how we relate to each other, that includes how we relate to men as women, how we relate to women as men, etc., how we relate to the cosmos. All of this is shaped now by media and media manipulation. And ultimately, in terms of what has happened, and not just since the 1920s, it's been going on for such a long time, the use of propaganda has become the major mechanism of control and manipulating people and shaping the sense of a morality, the sense of ethics within any given population. This has been done for quite some time.
Right. Now, getting back to your film about the BP oil spill and media manipulation, media mind control, you showed that they actually used an actress, and that she, she's got this. She's all dressed nicely and she's got sandals on. She takes her shoes off and she's walking on this pristine beach. And you identified her as an actress. And we know that we think that they put Corexit into the Gulf. Mm-hmm. And I have heard that people have gotten sick. There's been a lot of sickness since this event. Was there an oil spill? Did they just exaggerate about about the dangers. You also indicate in the video that they show the exact same picture, and it's very grainy. It doesn't. It's not very good. So tell us a little bit about that happened, how that happened, and what they did, and what their objectives were.
Yes. And the individual that I actually identified quite a few individuals, but there was one individual. She wasn't necessarily an actor. She was a musician. However, she's highly tied to Hollywood. And in terms of the picture that I showed, media took that and used it to propagandize the event itself. Right. So this is to say that sometimes there may be a picture that is taken of an event by an everyday person, which in this case, I don't believe that she was an everyday person. This was strategic. But in some cases, it may be taken by an everyday person like you or me. And media may take that picture. And if it fits the general theme in terms of what they're representing, what they're propagandizing, they will take it and they will spin it in a particular way. So this is something that in terms of how media works, media mind control techniques. And I outline so many different of these techniques on my radio shows and video series, et cetera, and also outline quite a few of them in this particular documentary. Media mind control and the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. So the question therefore becomes, was there an oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico? And the answer to that is perhaps. The evidence and proof that we would need ultimately if there is an oil spill is oil.
Right. And there wasn't too much oil that I could see in the film.
Yes. And just because media presents to us a grainy video footage of an oil riser that has oil spewing from it does not mean that this is an oil spill that is taking place in the Gulf of Mexico. It does not mean that the video footage was taken at the time of the BP oil spill in the Gulf, the supposed oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. It doesn't mean that this is the greatest ecological disaster of our time. See, the idea in terms of how media mind control works is that media presents information as if it is the authority, and the viewer must always subjugate itself to the authority. So if media says that it's the greatest ecological catastrophe of our time and they tell you what you are seeing, then as the subservient being to the media, you must accept it without any critical thought. There again is the issue. Critical thinking. See, and what I did was with the BP oil spills, I engaged in critical thinking. I started to ask questions. Now, is this really does this mean that there's a massive oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico based upon what media is showing me? You know, the pictures, the articles that are coming out, the video footage that they show, the same video footage, though, by the way. Does this mean, is what they're telling me and the evidence that they're giving me enough to prove that this is the greatest ecological disaster of our time? And ultimately, I said, no, this can't be the case. It's not enough. And what is the primary evidence that we would need? We would need to see massive amounts of oil washing up on shore. If someone said that there was a great, there was a great escape of chickens out of a farm, and it was like, I don't know, 10,000 chickens, and it was propagandized as the greatest chicken escape of all time. and media kept showing us this same video, grainy footage of these chickens. Okay, it doesn't necessarily, you don't know where the chickens were, you don't know where the video footage was taken, you don't know if the video footage was taken 10 years ago. But they tell you that this is video footage of the greatest chicken escape of all time. Now, we may accept that, but then we can also ask critical questions. Is this the greatest chicken escape of all time? And then ultimately, we must say, well, what is the evidence and proof that we would need to see? And ultimately, we would need to see these thousands and thousands of chickens running around loose. And there should be evidence or proof of this recorded by everyday people like you and me, right? And so this is the same type of logic that I apply to the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. If this was the greatest ecological catastrophe of our time and it was dealing with oil, then the primary evidence or proof that we would need to see is massive amounts of oil washing up on shore. This massive amounts of oil washing up on shore should have occurred within the first month of this being propagandized as the greatest ecological disaster of our time. It did not take place in the first month, in the second, third, fourth, five, fifth month, and now here we are 2 years later, and it still hasn't taken place. And there's a reason why it didn't take place. And there's actually two possible reasons. One, and this is one of the reasons that I lean towards, that there was not a massive oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. That is probable that there was an oil spill, but that media took it and blew it out of proportions to incite fear. Again, fear mongering, also for the purposes of mind control. Fear being the major mechanism of mind control. You put people inside a state of fear, and they will not be able to think critically. They will be operating on an emotional level. They will not be thinking critical. This is one of my critiques of a great deal of alternative information. It really puts people inside of a state of fear, as opposed to having people think intelligently and having an intellectual process about any given information. So for me, what I thought about was ultimately there must be oil. There was no oil, and therefore that would be the major evidence or proof that I would need. And so I began to ask critical questions. I began to look at the pictures, and I started to notice that many of the pictures were doctored and staged and photoshopped, et cetera. And if this is a truthful event, meaning the BP oil is going to go for Mexico, there would be no need for this level of manipulation. Truth should stand on its own. So to make a long story short, and I would encourage everyone to take the time to view the film, Media Mind Control and the BP Oil Spill in the Gulf of Mexico. That was that one initial possibility that there was not a massive oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, that maybe there was one, but it wasn't as bad as media had propagandized. But then there was another possibility, and that was that there was not an oil spill at all. Now, what was fascinating, and again, that's up to people to kind of decide for themselves based upon their own levels of critical thinking and analysis. But what was interesting about all this was that what happens with media is if they are propagandizing and lying to people about a story, and if there are too many loopholes, they must develop new lies to in order to kind of patch up the loopholes. So therefore, if there's not oil washing up on shore in mass as it was propagandized from the beginning, this is the greatest ecological catastrophe of our time. You know, people were saying things like millions of people are going to die. And I mean, it was so blown out of proportion. People were in a high level of fear. Well, if this was the case and there's no oil, well, then there must be another excuse that must be made. And there were so many different excuses. Some of them were the most fanciful ones. And let me just share just a couple of them real quickly here. One was that there were these microorganisms in the Gulf of Mexico that ate up all the oil. This is one of the excuses, and this is sourced from media. I'm not making this up, and I didn't see this on YouTube. It wasn't proposed as a possibility on someone on YouTube or on their Facebook page. No, this was coming from mainstream news and the alternative news, too, by the way. Another one was that the oil went down deep into the ocean, and that's why no one could see it. Okay, so somehow oil, it doesn't float on water. Instead, it just sinks to the bottom of the ocean. This is another thing. Again, this is not something that people were speculating about. This wasn't conspiracy theory per se. This was coming from mainstream news and the alternative news. Another one was that the oil actually washed up on shore, but it washed up in the island regions in the Gulf of Mexico, and that all of it went up on different islands, and that ultimately it settled on the island surface and then began to sink into the dirt to where you could not see it. It was under the dirt now. Okay, And again, this is not conspiracy theory coming from YouTube or someone posting on Facebook. This comes from mainstream news. And I followed all of this. And at a certain point, I said, now, if these are the types of stories that are being propagandized, something is not right about this, right? And then for those who are more into the more conspiratorial type of information, and many of us are, we're into that kind of an orientation. And I've been there. I've done that. There was another particular propaganda piece that was issued for that particular demographic, and that was that there was a extremely toxic chemical used called Corexit that was used, and that's why there was not a massive amount of oil that washed up on shore. And out of this new threat of Corexit being toxic, then you get this a new stream. It's really like a new cycle of fear that was being issued, where and now people are going to die because of Corexit. Now people are getting sick because of Corexit. Now, always, in terms of intellectually speaking, I always make the point, proximity does not mean what is the term? The proximity of a substance does not mean causality. Okay.
Oh, it could very be important. Hysteria.
It could be hysteria. I mean, it could be anything. It could be people eating unhealthy food. It can be people are stressed out because of all of the fear, and that's why they're getting sick. It could be psychosomatic. Right. Now, this, again, all assumes that we believe that Corexit was used, which, in fact, we don't have any evidence or proof, outstanding evidence or proof by everyday people like you and me that would back up that claim. So what I'm getting at is now we're at a point where, in terms of the logic stream, where we have to accept the initial lie that there was a massive amount of oil, to where we get to the point where we accept the next lie that somehow Corexit was used, and that's why there wasn't any oil that was washing up on shore. And what I propose to people is you must have evidence or proof that there was a massive oil spill in the first place. You can't skip steps. You see,
right.
You have to have, and this is what I mean by critical thinking. This is a logic stream. Anytime you have this big leap in your logic, it's because you lack information and you weren't given information that would fill in the gaps. And so you kind of have to make these projections, and those projections cannot be about reality because they're coming out from a place of ignorance. And many people did this. Okay, because there's not any oil, it's because of microorganisms. Now, this assumes, again, that there was a mass amount of oil. Now, is it possible that there wasn't a mass amount of oil in the first place? Absolutely. And if this was the case, if there wasn't a massive amount of oil, then could it be that Corexit was not used? Why would it be used if there was not a massive amount of oil? And again, in the first place, in terms of a logic stream and thinking intellectually, there must be a massive amount of oil that must be identified by everyday people like you and me within the first month. It should have been there, and it didn't happen in the second month, and then it didn't happen in the third month. And by the third month, that's when you start to get these alternative stories that begin to come out, where people begin to run with, because they begin, it basically started a new stream of a new cycle of fear. So Corexit being one of the ones that we, and see, as an example, we now have 2 years. I have this saying, time always tells the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, time always tells the truth. You just have to be patient and don't get caught up in the fear mongering. Just be patient, take a step back and relax, and just let time tell the truth. We now have 2 years of time that has passed since the BP oil spill, over 2 years now, since the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. And if you believe that this was the greatest ecological catastrophe of our time and mass amounts of oil was spewing into the Gulf, then you should have seen mass amounts of oil washing up on shore. And tar balls do not count, because tar balls, you can find those in California on the beaches in San Diego at any point during the year. So people really be clear about that. Tar balls does not mean massive amounts of oil washing up. So here we have 2 years. You haven't seen the massive amounts of oil. And if you believe the other lie, that Corexit was used and that it was a toxic substance, and many people were projecting that millions of people were going to die because Corexit was used. A lot of people in the truth movement was using this particular conspiracy theory. Now we have 2 years. Has this taken place? Has millions upon millions of people died because of Corexit use? Was it really something that had to do with population reduction? Absolutely not. Time always tells the truth. But when we're in the midst of the media manipulation and media mind control, we're not thinking logically. See, we're not thinking critically. What we are doing, we are reacting based upon fear-based mind control programming. That's why I really want people to really take a critical look. If you believe that this was the greatest ecological catastrophe of your time, that's fine. Don't get upset with me. I just encourage you to take a look at the documentary and then just use your critical thinking and take an intellectual approach. A lot of the programming that we get about particular events, whether it's 9/11, whether it's the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, whether it's the supposed death of Osama bin Laden, is based upon our emotional reactions that we have. And we have to get to a point where we stop engaging everything within the scope of ultra emotionalism and take a level of intellectualism and go through an intellectual process. And if you can do that and you view my film, you would at least begin to ask critical questions about the information streams that you are participating in and you are accepting. And I'm very clear about it. It's not just the mainstream news. It's also the alternative news. And that's why each and every one of us, and I'm very clear about this, this is something I've been trying to teach people for a long time. Purify your information stream. If it's not serving you, if it's putting you in a state of perpetual fear, you must purify it. Because when you're in a state of perpetual fear, you cannot take an intellectual approach.
Right. Well, the other thing about this is that whether it's the BP oil spill, whether it's the death of Osama bin Laden, they show it for a short period of time, a relatively short period of time. And then they never address it again. They never go back to it. They never address it. They never tell you what happened. It's like, okay, this is like, this event is kind of just in its own little category. And then they go on to something else to get you all upset.
Yes, and it's perpetual fear-based mind control programming, and that's what it is. It's to keep people in a state of perpetual fear, and that's such a very important point, because I have these terms that I've coined over the years, and one of them is shelf life, media shelf life.
Okay, yes, that's a perfect term.
Yes, and if something is truly relevant to you, it will have an extended shelf life. Right. For instance, I have 5 children. Right. They're very important to me. I have a wife. We have 5 beautiful children together, and they're going to be relevant to me for the rest of my life here on planet Earth. So their shelf life is, as long as I'm going to be here, they're going to be part of, my cabinet space, my mental cabinet space.
Sure.
So this is what I mean. Like, there's a shelf life in terms of information. There's a shelf life in terms of what is valuable. And the longer the shelf life, the more relevant it is and more meaningful it is and more truthful it is to an individual in general. Right. Especially if you're operating from a sovereign mind, if you're under high levels of mind control, that may not necessarily be the case. But for those of us who are striving to come up from under the media manipulation, the longer something has value to you or the longer the shelf life, the more value it should have to you and the more truth it should bring into your space. Right. And truth being like the opposite of fear-based mind control program, which is based upon a lot of illusions, delusions, and lies. But that concept of shelf life is so important. And one of the things that happens with media, and this is precisely why And this is an excellent example in terms of the degree of mind control. How is it possible that something will be relevant to an individual who watches the news or who tunes in or who goes onto quote unquote more conspiratorial type of information on the internet, goes to particular websites, goes to particular radio shows? How is it that information will only be relevant to them while media speaks about it?
How true.
And as soon as media stops speaking about it, they forget about it. It's a non-issue. Just like every 4 years, they bring about topics like for presidential elections, they bring about the same topics every 4 years. It's the same. It's a recycling of a program: immigration, gay rights, gay marriage, women's rights, abortion, the budget deficit, health care. Same issues are always brought up every single 4 years as they mind. And see, media only deals with those around election season. And every 4 years, people buy into the illusion all over again. It's like you just kind of go again with the news cycle every single 4 years. Well, as soon as media stops talking about that, as soon as media stops talking about the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, the greatest ecological disaster of our time, as soon as they stop talking about Osama bin Laden, as soon as they stop talking about Al-Qaeda, as soon as they stop talking about Muammar Gaddafi, it's a non-issue. Well, that's the shelf life.
Right.
That's precisely the shelf life. And see, that's what I mean. Media will turn up particular stories and they'll do a media blitz, Trayvon Martin, to get the racial tensions going. That's Trayvon Martin. That's Kony 2012. Get the racial tension going. They'll turn it up, and then they'll turn it back. And people get all caught up, and you get all this kind of like this race-based mind control programming. People start getting upset with each other. They're arguing with each other on forums and on Facebook. And they go, I mean, it's insane. This is what I mean by media mind control and manipulation. It enacts a level of behavior modification. People's behaviors are changed because of this. Media turns it up, and then media will turn it back down, and people forget all about it. You know, Occupy Wall Street as another example. Media turns it back down, people forget about it, and then when media decides to turn it back up again, people start taking interest again. So again, the question becomes, how is this possible? How is it possible that media can simply issue particular stories and people will get enthralled by them and it becomes part of their everyday reality, and then they turn it off and then all of a sudden people don't care anymore? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because those individuals who get turned up and turned down, turned on and turned off, are in a state of mind control. This is how media operates, and this is what the mind control does. It turns people's emotions up, and then it brings them back down. It turns their emotions up, and then brings them back down. And in the process, people lose track of time. They don't know what year it is. For instance, September 11th, always around September 11th, it's cyclical. Always around September 11th, every single year, you get a lot of fear-based mind control programming about bombs, terror threats, Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden, and Muslim extremists. Every single year for the last 10 years, media turns it up. People get into a state of fear around September 11th. And soon after September 11th passes, media turns it back down and they're no longer talking about these issues anymore. This is cyclical programming that is enacted every single year. I call it the morbid death celebration that is September 11th. This is media manipulation every single year for the last decade around an event that took place a decade ago. And every single year, media does the same thing. Just like every single 4 years in terms of the presidential elections, media does the same thing over and over again. How is it that people can be turned on and turned off that easily without realizing the programming and without realizing that the same programming was issued a year prior, that they bought into a year prior, because they're in a state of mind control? When you're in a state of mind control, you lose track of time, and you can't come onto a level of intellectual sovereignty when you don't know what year it is. There are people who, when we get close to September 11, 2012, they'll think that they're in September 11, 2001. That's mind control.
Now, that day, everyone, it seems, in America were tuned into the television, and they were traumatized, correct? And that is the best time to mind control people. When they are traumatized. And so when they see this each year around September 11th, doesn't it bring back that same fear that they had that very day?
Absolutely. It's called a fear-based mind control reinstallation program. See, this is a fascinating aspect of human psychology. If you have an individual who is in a state of mind control, you can program them for 4 years. And it may be trauma-based mind control programming, which was really what 9/11 was about. And it can be physical trauma. It can be psychological trauma. It can be emotional trauma, right? You mind control them, let's say, for 4 years. It doesn't even have to be that long, you know, because there are children who are mind controlled to believe in Santa Claus, right?
Right.
And let's use that as an example, because the relationship between media and the general population is parent-child. So let's use the example of Santa Claus. The parent tells the child that there is this man who lives in the North Pole somewhere who has reindeers, and he's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, and he knows when you're naughty or you're nice.
Right.
Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? I mean, to a grown adult, it sounds absolutely ridiculous, right? You know, who comes up with these types of things, right? But the child is told this, and prior to that, the child may not have even considered the possibility that there was a man, you know, in the North Pole who, you know, was omnipotent and omnipresent and knew when you were naughty or nice and rode around in a carriage in a sleigh with a flying reindeer. A child would not have conceptualized that at all. Okay.
Right.
So, but if you tell the child from an early age and you tell them over and over again to believe in Santa Claus, and Santa Claus is knowing when you're naughty or nice, and if you believe in Santa Claus and you're nice, you will get gifts. Well, what an awesome incentive for a child, right? Okay, all I got to do is believe, and I get gifts for believing in a lie. Okay, they don't realize that it's a lie because it's their parent, someone that they both trust and believe in, right? Just like media is the parent to many adults, and adults trust and believe in media. You see the analogy that I'm making here.
Oh, absolutely.
So the child is told for, let's say, the first 3 years of its life that there is Santa Claus, and it begins to believe that there is a Santa Claus. And every single Christmas morning, you see, they will come out and, oh, look at these gifts. Wow, Santa Claus must be real.
Right.
No evidence or proof whatsoever. VP almost flew in the Gulf of Mexico. But because their parent told them, because media told us that it was the greatest ecological catastrophe of time, we believe it anyway, just like children believe at a certain point that there was Santa Claus. Now, what happens is as the child grows up, it begins to ask critical questions. And perhaps as the child gets to a certain age, the parent stops telling them about Santa Claus. So in other words, the parent every single year isn't reinstalling the program of Santa Claus and the illusion of Santa Claus every single year because the child is getting older. So the parent doesn't necessarily feel that it's necessary to tell them to believe in Santa Claus, because at a certain point, it's like, okay, now you're 10. Okay, you already bought into the illusion, so I don't have to keep telling you. You're already in a state of mind control about this, so I don't have to keep telling you. Now, what happens in terms of human psychology is that child from that moment on will begin to ask critical questions about the legitimacy of this concept of Santa Claus. So in other words, if you leave the child alone long enough without reinstalling the program of Santa Claus, the child will naturally and normally begin to break its mind control programming to start asking questions like, wait a minute,
sure.
I haven't seen Santa Claus before.
Right.
You know? And why is it that it's only around this day called Christmas that Santa Claus comes? Why is it that he doesn't come in January or February or March if he's omnipotent? And why doesn't he just bring me a gift whenever I'm good? You know, and why doesn't Santa Claus come and take my gifts away when I'm naughty? They start asking these types of questions. Again, they begin the process of breaking their mind control program. At a certain point, they say, wait a minute, Mom. They may be 20 by that time. Wait a minute, Dad. I've never seen Santa Claus. I never saw it. So what is it? And the parents may say, oh, that was just a story that we made up. But the child believed in the illusion as a child. When it was young, it believed in the lie.
Right.
Well, this is the same relationship in terms of media and the relationship. It lies to people all the time. The same thing applies to 9/11. See, what happens is that if media does not reinstall the program, that is the 911 fear-based mind control program, which in essence is the greatest fear-based mind control program of our time, right? There are people who are literally still stuck in September 11, 2001, literally in terms of their emotional state. If media stopped talking about 9/11, September 11, 2001, and didn't represent the programming every single year, and this programming comes in many different ways. Again, stories about Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, terror threats, bomb plots, etc. You get people who were around during that time, George Bush, they brought back on the scene, like actors coming back to reinstall the programming. You get it every single year for the last decade. If media stopped doing that, people will start asking critical questions about the event itself and the legitimacy of the official story. Right. You see what I'm saying here? So
that's
why the 911 is reinstalled. It's trauma based mind control programming that must be installed. And if it's not installed every single year, people will begin to ask critical questions. And they begin to break their mind control programming. And that's precisely why media must reissue the fear based mind control program dealing with September. And how does it do it primarily? These retrospectives about September 11th. And then the psychotic part of it all is that the programming is reinstalled while people are celebrating death and destruction, and they call it an anniversary.
Yikes.
Yes, that's what it is. And they bring their children to come and celebrate this anniversary of death and destruction every single year. And some of these children weren't even alive then. And yet the programming is being installed. See, they're forced to live the death and destruction and the horror and the tragedy every single year. They're forced to relive it. And in some cases, parents put this mind control programming onto their child unwillingly or unknowingly, but they still do it because they're forcing their children to participate in this event that the child was not even on the planet Earth when the event actually took place, just like many parents force their children to believe in Santa Claus.
Right. Now, in the alternative media, there are people who talk about, who give all of these methods that they use to do this, to bring about 9/11. Are these people provocateurs, do you think? What do you think about the alternative media and these people who promote, you know, they do conferences and all kinds of things?
Yes.
How do you see these people?
Yes. Now, it depends. There are people who have particular theories. And see, this is the thing I think people really need to be clear about. No one knows absolutely what took place on September 11, 2001. No one does. Okay. That includes people who have who abide to the official version, which was ridiculous, but also people who have more sensible explanations as to what took place. But to date, no one knows exactly. May have an idea, may have some theories, and may have some concepts that they're working with, but no one knows exactly and precisely what took place on that day. Now, one of the things that has happened is many people have bought into an illusion that the mainstream news and the alternative news are separate entities. Okay, and I want everyone to understand, no, they're not separate entities. They're all, and this is why for the alternative news, in terms of how it operates, it sources much of its information from the mainstream news. If you are alternative to something, then you would not source that which you are alternative to. Does this make sense?
Oh, yes. Yes. For instance, that day, Dan Rather said, oh, this looks like controlled demolition. And then pretty soon you have groups in the alternative media who are mouthing that exact same thing. Oh, it's controlled demolition. And then they remember that Silverstein said, oh, we must pull Building 7. Well, that's a term that they use in controlled demolition. So basically, they have accepted what the mainstream media initiated and introduced.
Absolutely. And part of the reason why they accepted it was because many of these quote unquote alternative news outlets are part of the mainstream news in the first place. Let me explain this, because this is very important for people to understand. This is why it's important for us to engage in a level of critical thinking and purifying our information stream. And I'm saying this because I've been there. OK, so if anyone listens to this and you get upset because of what I'm saying about the alternative news, understand that any conspiracy theory that you can bring up today, that you may, and I'm talking to the viewers out there, that you may have a high level of understanding about, it's probable that not only am I aware of it, but I know more about it than you do. Okay. And I'm not saying this to be boastful, and I'm not saying this to be arrogant. I'm saying that it's probable. Now, there may be some exceptions to this rule. The reason why I'm saying this is because I spent so many years wrapped up in this stuff. I've spent so many hours. I spent so many days wrapped up in this stuff. And I was looking at all of the alternative information that I could possibly find, what some people would classify, and I put this in quotations, as conspiracy theory. I went through all of it, right? I was in a high level of fear. I was in, at a certain point, it had gotten to an extreme level where I could not even function to my greatest capacity as a father to my children because I was so wrapped up into what people would call conspiracy theory, right? So part of what I'm getting at is people have to understand that there's no difference in essence between the alternative news and the mainstream news. And point of fact, I outline this in my series, How to Decode Media Manipulation 101. The techniques of mind control that are issued by and employed by mainstream news are exactly the same as the mind control techniques that are used by the alternative news. And inside that particular series, I give examples from the mainstream and the alternative just to show people, in terms of the manipulative techniques that are being employed, they are the same. And not only are the techniques the same, there's so many of them, subliminal association, NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, subconscious confusion, subliminal programming embeds. I mean, even the soundscapes that are used in the background. There's so many different ones that I analyze, and these are very scientific and very precise. They're used by mainstream and alternative. But even outside of that, the fact that the alternative news sources its information from mainstream news should cause people to have at least begin to ask some critical questions. And you gave an excellent example of the controlled demolition. See, oftentimes the mainstream news will issue stories and they'll give an official story, but then they'll also interject and kind of like infuse an alternative story that is kind of like more conspiratorial for those people who are more into the conspiratorial type of information. And let me explain what I mean by this. In terms of how media works, media seeks to identify particular target groups and particular demographics. Okay, this is why people need to study media prior to simply accepting information from any media stream. You need to study how media operates. You need to study the techniques that they use. You need to study neurolinguistic programming. You need to study human psychology, most importantly, human psychology, and also propaganda. You can look into Edward Bernays. There's so much information out there. But understand that media and mainstream, when it issues stories, it always leaves loose ends. And this is very precise because those loose ends becomes like the sparking points for individuals who are more into the conspiratorial information. The conspiratorial information and those who are more into the quote unquote, and I put in quotations, conspiracy theory, they also represent a particular demographic, a target audience. And you too are being issued mind control programming for you. Everyone gets it. And if you're more of a, if you had take a more racist ideology about things, there's programming that's issued by media for you. If you're more into a military type of orientation, there's programming for you. If you're into sports, there's programming for you. If you're into debauchery, there's programming for you. If you think that everyone else is sheeple and because you know it all, there's a whole lot of programming for you. Okay. People understand this. Media, mainstream and alternative work hand in hand to issue and to appeal to particular demographics, particular target populations of people. And this is precisely why with 9/11, like you said, as an excellent example, there were stories about a controlled demolition. And then that becomes one of the conspiracy theories. No one knows for sure. It's speculative. Just because the documentary is issued like loose change doesn't mean that it's the truth. Right. Because if you take a critical analysis of any documentary, you realize that there are loose ends within those documentaries that were based on the loose ends that mainstream media issued in the first place. And it was done on purpose. Initially, those loose ends were issued on purpose. OK, so what I'm getting at here is that there is programming for everyone. And this includes individuals who are into the more conspiratorial information. The mainstream news tends to issue information that is more in line with the quote unquote government's official version of any given event. The alternative news tends to issue information to a demographic that is more into the more conspiratorial orientation, and the manner in which the alternative news issues its information is mainly based upon exaggeration of the mainstream news information. So in essence, understand this, that it's not that alternative news is separate from mainstream. It's just a different outlet that appeals to a particular demographic. And this is the demographic of people who are more into the conspiratorial story. And they believe that because they've seen a couple of videos, they haven't done any research and they haven't engaged in any level of critical thinking. They're still reacting emotionally. That's why a lot of the alternative information puts people inside a state of fear. It's always about this doomsday projection or, you know, this global elite trying to dominate you and destroy you and kill you, and vaccination is going to destroy you. And it's never about you taking a personal being personally responsible through intellectual process. It's always about you reacting emotionally to something external of you having more power than you to actualize the reality that you want. This is by design. It's not by accident. So people be very clear in terms of mainstream and alternative. There's no real difference between the two other than one appeals to a particular demographic of people. The other one appeals to another demographic of people.
Interesting. And there are things that are dangerous, but what you're saying perhaps is that we need to take responsibility for our own choices and to take responsibility for investigating the things that apply to us and ignore the rest?
Well, what I would say is always take an intellectual approach and always recognize that the power is in you. It's not external of you. And let me give a couple of examples. And essentially, you said apply to us. This is key. The first level of intellectual process that I talk about in my work is that one must have accurate discernment as to whether or not something is real. Okay.
Okay.
So just because media says that something, if this is the greatest ecological catastrophe of time, you must ask a critical question. Is that true? You want to get to the truth. You want to know if it's real or not. So that's the first level. See, and that's a long process because we're so used to kind of conceding to media. That includes mainstream and alternative. And whatever mainstream alternative says, we just accept it as being truth. Well, that's not an intellectual process, right? That's simply like the mother telling or the father telling the child that there's a Santa Claus and it's true. So therefore, you must believe it. In the first place, we must ascertain whether or not something is real. Once you it, now, if you get to the point where it's you come to a point where, okay, it's not real. Now you ask the critical question whether it is relevant to you.
Okay. Yes.
Now, if you find out that it is real, you must still ask that next logical question of whether or not it is relevant to you. Just because something is real does not mean that it's relevant. In other words, does it apply to you? And much of the information that may even be real coming from the mainstream or the alternative may have absolutely nothing to do with your life and your ability to manifest the type of life that you want for yourself or for your family. Now, let me give an example of what I mean in terms of it's not necessarily about ignoring anything. It's about having a level of discernment about everything. I'm going to say it again. It's not about ignoring everything. It's about having a high level of discernment about everything. Now, as an example, there's all this information about vaccinations and people, especially in the conspiratorial type of orientation. It's always about, you know, they're trying to vaccinate our children and the government is doing this, the government is doing that, and we have to fight this and fight that. And this is the New World Order, and it's as part of the eugenics agenda, and this is part of all of these pronouncements. And yet, rarely do I hear people say things who are saying things like that. I rarely see them saying that, you know what, I'm not vaccinating my children.
Right.
Now, why is that relevant? Because it's not about externalizing power and trying to make it seem as if someone is forcing vaccinations on your children. Ultimately, the vaccination of children, especially in the United States of America, it is a process of consent by the adult in the first place. There is not the FBI coming knocking on your door trying to force you to take vaccinations. It's not necessary. You don't have to have some Gestapo out there trying to force people to have vaccines. It's not necessary. All you have to do is mind control the parents to believe that it is good to vaccinate their children, and they'll do it. And then even those who complain about it will still do it because they're still in a state of mind control. So the question becomes, when do we become personally responsible? See, I've already gone through all the topics of vaccinations and all the ingredients in vaccination. I recognize it's a horrible agenda that's being issued globally. But then I came to a point where I realized, what do I do about it? And what do I do? My wife and I, we chose not to vaccinate our children. You see the difference in orientation as opposed to complaining about what you think someone else is doing to you. Look at your own mentality and ask the question whether or not you're doing it to yourself via consent in the first place. See, all the levels of manipulation that is enacted globally, and especially in terms of media, it is enacted through consent on some level by all participants or by all parties involved. As another example, people talk about the public education system all the time. And I hear this a lot, especially in the truth movement mouthpieces and how the public, and they're dumbing down our children, they're dumbing down our children. And this is part of the New World Order, and they're doing this on purpose. And yet they're not taking their children and homeschooling their children. So let's complain about what something greater than us is doing to us. And let's complain about what we think someone else is doing to us. But we're not going to take the next step and become personally responsible in educating our own children and then inspiring in other people to do the same. In fact, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how bad public education system is. And then we're going to issue stories about how people who homeschool their children are having problems with the government. So what does this do? This is now, in addition to complaining about the public education school, we're going to issue fear to those who may even be considering educating their children at home. This is how it works. You see what I'm getting?
So yes. So
let me ask you a question. As my wife and I, we have 5 children. What do? Do we continue to complain about what we think someone else is doing to us, the Illuminati, the elite, and the world government? No, we don't. I mean, please. It doesn't have any power over us. It's not relevant to us. We know about it. We've studied it. I've done documentaries on it. But the power is ours. What do? We homeschool our children. And they are absolutely brilliant. And in the process of homeschooling them, we don't complain about the public education system. We don't complain about what we think the government is doing. And we're not fearful because we've been watching these truth movement mouthpieces spew all this fear-based mind control programming about how if you choose to homeschool your children, then the government is going to come knocking on your door. And this is precisely, you rarely hear them have someone who is in power talking about homeschooling and is not doing it coming from a place of fear of something greater than them coming in and taking their children. What you do hear from them is all of these tragic stories. Many of these stories are completely fabricated about these parents who decided to become personally responsible and raise their children at home and educate their children at home. And they are coming under a high level of stress and due to governmental forces trying to come in and cause a ruckus or take their children. This is the degree of the manipulation. This is supposedly alternative. No. Mainstream and alternative work hand in hand. So what I'm getting at is it doesn't necessarily matter what the story is. It's not about ignoring any particular issue. It's about getting to a point where you have accurate discernment as to whether or not the story is true. And then ultimately, whether or not it is relevant to you. And if ultimately that story and that information is not empowering you to actually make a choice, then it's irrelevant. You're still going to run the same program that you were running prior to coming into that information.
Right. Another thing, after 9/11, of course, we had the Patriot Act, and then we had the TSA, and people are now afraid to travel because of the things that they hear about happening as they pass through the TSA booths and how they're groped and everything. And that would prevent somebody or may cause somebody to not take a trip.
Mm-hmm.
And it
mm-hmm.
also instills fear, correct?
Yes. But see, this is what I mean by coming to a level of personal responsibility. If the individual studies law, you would realize that no one has the right to grope you in the first place, including the TSA.
Yes.
See, this is what I mean by taking an intellectual approach and really studying. See, as opposed to, you know, watching a particular documentary where they're complaining about the TSA, instead of doing that, actually engage into be an adult. I mean, it's really that simple. When the TSA, when they approach someone, they ask them first.
Right. Okay.
They always ask first. They just don't come up to you and start groping you. They say, "Can I check your bag?" And you say yes, like a child whose parent has just told them what to do.
Right.
They say, well, can you please come through this special screening section here? And you say yes, like a child that is waiting for their parent to tell them what to do. See, this is what I mean. Like, even if you've gone into the information, alternative information about the TSA, you're still in a state of mind control. If you concede, again, no form of manipulation, including being groped, is going to happen. It's not, as we used to say back in the day, it's not going to go down. It's not going to happen unless you consent to it. And if you don't know your quote unquote rights, if you don't know law, if you haven't studied, and if you're not operating on a level of, operating on a level of intellectualism where you conduct yourself and you conduct your affairs as a solvent adult, you're going to concede and you're going to go through the process of being groped. Why? Not because someone forced it on you, but because you consented to it because you're in a state of mind control. That's why the argument in talking about how bad TSA is irrelevant. Because ultimately, none of that can take place, the groping and the extra baggage check and having you in screening and having people take their clothes off and take it. None of this happens unless you consent to it in the first place. Now, get this. If everyone in that line said, "I'm not going to take my shoes off," that would be a problem. Right?
Yes.
At a certain point, the airlines would say, "You know what? There's no need for them to take off their shoes." Okay.
Right. We are all just marching along to these authority figures, mm-hmm. and we learn it in the government school system.
That's right.
We learn it in so many areas of our life.
Mm-hmm. And that's why coming into a level of mental sovereignty means that you actually become an adult, so that when the TSA person says, "Can I do that to you?" you instead of saying yes, you say no.
Wow.
So you can't say yes. They ask you a question. Same thing with police officers. Can I see your driver's license? They're asking you a question. Oh yes, officer. And you give it to them. Can you step out of your vehicle? Yes, officer. It reminds me of slaves and slave masters. The slave master says, "Can I see that?" And you say, "Yes, master." The slave master said, "Can you take off your shoes so you can come through the security check?" You say, "Yes, master." See, this is the relational model that has been developed over time. So you can't say yes to being manipulated or being controlled and then complain about it afterwards. And that's precisely what takes place with the TSA with all this information. See, instead of empowering people to come to a level of mental sovereignty to where they say no to being abused, what the alternative media does is it tells people and forces them to complain about that system that controls them, but not taking action to where they actually come into a level
of
sovereignty where they say, "No, I'm not going to participate anymore." This is how the cycle is perpetuated. So it's come from the mainstream and it's coming from the alternative.
Of course.
Let me say this, too, real quickly here. If I was going through the line and some TSA officer said to me, "I need to check your children. I need to pat them all down." You think I'm going to say yes?
No, I don't think you would.
Yeah, of course not. Of course. But you know that there are parents who would say yes. And then these are the same parents that will complain about how bad the TSA is. No, the onus was on the parent for allowing their child to be abused in this way in the first place. That's what I mean. We have to come into a level of personal responsibility.
Wow. That's what I like about you. You just make sense of everything. I think you must be 200 years old or something. You have so much wisdom and you see things so clearly. And you're quite right about the alternative media. There is more fear mongering probably in the alternative media, with people like Alex Jones and some of people like him. It is amazing how you clarify things.
Oh, thank you. And I have to say that my wife and I we have our struggles in life. Okay, like everyone else, right? But then there's things that I have certain insights into. But then there's also things that I'm just like, I still haven't been able to figure out in my life quite yet, right? So we're all working in different areas, and my objective is with what I do understand in terms of the topics that we've addressed and other topics, I do my best to share with other people in hopes of inspiring other people a level of personal sovereignty, and empowerment ultimately to be able to empower oneself. That's the idea. It's not just to complain about what we think other people are doing to us or how bad the system is or the Illuminati or the global elite or the global bankers. That's not enough. That doesn't change anything. The true change comes from us looking internally and helping each other to look internally and rectify whatever internal issues need to be rectified. And that one issue of us becoming personally responsible is so very key, because ultimately if enough human beings on the planet Earth were personally responsible, the power structure itself would crumble. It would cease to exist. Right. So I'm very clear. I just share and I want to make this, statement to you that I'm clear about what I am clear about. But then there's a lot of stuff in my life that my wife and I, we're still trying to figure out. And I sincerely hope that there will be others out there that can help us in those areas. So for me, I want to help people in those areas that I can and with the information that I do understand and the things that I have clarity about. But I'm also quite open to having other people come on in and help us.
Well, you're sure a good person. And I'm sure your wife is also a good person, and your children. You have a picture of them. Beautiful children. Absolutely beautiful children.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And we love these babies.
It's obvious. It really is obvious. Tell us just a little bit about the Media Manipulation 101, the 14-hour video series. That looks very intriguing.
Yes, and that is key. It is so important that people understand the manipulation and how it works. It's very scientific. It's been developed for centuries now. It's not just with the advent of television and now the internet, and now we're getting into beyond HD into 3D. I mean, this has been going on since time immemorial. The use of propaganda. So the techniques that have been used, they have progressed, and technology has advanced, and therefore the degree to which the manipulation is the impact that it's having, it too has advanced. What I do in that series, How to Decode Media Manipulation 101, is I go through an analysis of various techniques that are employed by media to mind control the general population. And it is so very precise. Not only is it precise, it's what's the best word I can say without making it seem like I'm praising the manner in which they do these things? It is intriguing.
Right.
It really is, because the depths of understanding of human psychology, behavior modification. I mean, it is really extreme. So what I do in this series is I begin to show people the techniques, and I give different names to these different techniques. Tonal frequency application. This means that how information is spoken to you is going to impact how you receive the information. If information is spoken to you in a very somber way, you're going to receive it and you're going to take a negative disposition to that information. If it's spoken to you in a positive way, you're going to take it in a much more positive, which is much more amicability. This is what the alternative media does in terms of, like, for instance, homeschooling. When they talk about homeschooling, the way in which they talk about it, their tonal frequency is very devolved. And it makes people feel uneasy, right? They
right.
do organic food in the mainstream news, and they talk about, yeah, these people are eating organic. They don't sound bright and happy while they're talking about it. They
right.
sound very good. And this is tonal frequency application. Neurolinguistic programming is another word, another way, trigger words and trigger imagery that is used. This is often used with 9/11. So you often hear stories about bombs, plane problems, explosions, terrorist threats around 9/11. This is all neurolinguistic programming, trigger words, trigger imagery. Whenever you see the Twin Towers crumbling, you're forced to relive certain things. I mean, they have this down to a science, subliminal association. And it's not just with television. It's also in terms of when you go onto your Yahoo and you look at, your Yahoo account, and there's these headlines. You look at the headlines and how the headlines are placed, the sub headlines that are next to them, the pictures that are there, what the picture says, the subliminal messages in the picture. I go through an analysis of these types of things. I mean, it's some really, really fascinating stuff. The series itself is over 14 hours in length, and people can find it on my website, Lynn and Honor Films, and also on lynnandhonor.com. And I propose that piece for people who really want to take things to the next level, to where they can understand the science behind the manipulation. What happens is, once you understand the science, and this is one of the things that I've been doing on my radio shows on Saturday, Transcending Media Manipulation, every Saturday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on lynnandhonor.com. Once you understand the science, you can pick it out. You can pick out how things are being spun by media, and you can see which techniques they're using. But then when you master that, you get to a point where you can predict what the stories are going to be in advance. This is the fascinating part about all of this. There is a script that media runs, and it's cyclical. And if you understand the script and you understand the cycle and you know the manipulative techniques, you can determine in advance the types of stories that are going to take place. For instance, ladies and gentlemen, and I've been doing this on my radio show. Like, I'll tell people in advance, this is what you can expect over the next 2 weeks. Once the NBA finals are over with here in the United States of America, you will begin to see an infusion of stories dealing with terror threats. Mark my words, ladies and gentlemen. How do I know this? Because I've been following the types of stories that media has been issuing over the last 3 months. And in that it runs in cycle, remember we talked about earlier how things are turned up, turned down, turned up, turned down? Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We're right about to get to the point where they're going to start turning up the terrorist threats. These terror threats will fuel the Olympics. So people are now afraid about the Olympics. And then this will lead into September 11th. It's perfectly predictable.
Sure.
See, and this is what I mean by the approach, as opposed to getting all emotional about these stories that come out and, you know, the fight, we need to fight this and fight that in New World Order. Just, you know, take an intellectual approach and you realize that even the stories that the alternative news are reporting on in the quote unquote truth movement, even those stories are part of the script and they're perfectly predictable in advance. And you can call them out in advance if you know the cycles, if you know the manipulative techniques that are taking place, and if you understand in terms of what has been happening, what has been leading up to any given event. For instance, now that we're getting into the Olympics, that's why you get a lot of race-based mind control programming. And I've told people this in advance too on my radio show. You can expect a lot of race-based mind control programming going into the Olympics, because the Olympics is not about country or nationality. The Olympics is about genetics, genetic superiority, genetic inferiority. In essence, it's about racial superiority and racial inferiority. And it has been for a long time. That's why you get all these stories about race. You get the story of Trayvon Martin. This is just race-based mind control program. You get the story about Kony 2012. This is all the story. The zombie apocalypse, this too was race-based mind control programming, all fueling into the Olympics. And on top of that, there'll be these projections of these what, you know, we would call fear-based mind control programming dealing with terrorist threats. And once you get to the Olympics, now we're getting into the presidential elect or September 11th. Perfect timing. September 11th, now you got the racial division, you got the terrorist threats from the Olympics, but fits nicely into September 11th. You'll start to get even more infusion of plane problem, plane crashes, Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden issues start to come back up all over again because it's cyclical. And then once you get to September 11th, now it's race-based mind control programming again. Why? Because now we're coming up to the presidential elections, and the presidential elections will be about race, because now you're dealing with Barack Obama, and of course it has become a racial issue. This is how media operates. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? A year from now, the same type of programming that is being issued right now will be issued a year from now. And then 4 years from now, the same type of programming dealing with the presidential elections will be reissued again. Why? As a reinstallation mind control programming. Once you understand the cycles, you can predict the types of stories that are going to come up in advance. And that's precisely what I do on my radio show on Saturdays. And that particular video series, How to Decode Media Manipulation, will help people to get on the road to where they can have that level of aptitude where they can begin to predict what types of stories are going to come out in advance.
That's remarkable. All righty, you have a donate button on your website, and I encourage people to make a donation. I encourage people to look at these videos. You have a lot of free downloads. I recommend all of these that the listeners look at all of these, not all at one time, but you know.
Oh no, don't do that, because there's over 4 hours of content on Lenin Honor Films alone. I mean, 4 years of content on Lenin Honor Films alone. So take
right.
your time. Yes.
But it's amazing work, and I just admire you so much, and really appreciate what you've done.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for having me on the show. I really do appreciate it. I almost feel like this is like a reward for me for, you know, kind of like shifting my focus to more positive topics. And for you to have me here, I just want to thank you so much. And thank you for all your support as well.
Well, thank you. And let's do this again.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime, just let me know.
Okay. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.